WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. William Burroughs would be the first to tell you that his novel Naked Lunch wouldn't easily lend itself to film. It has no traditional narrative. It's a series of one junkie's hallucinations. When the movie Naked Lunch was in production, my guest Jim Isaac helped create the disturbing, unsavory creatures hallucinated by the junkie. As the special effects supervisor for the film Naked Lunch, Isaac worked closely with director David Cronenberg. He also worked with Cronenberg on his film The Fly. The novel Naked Lunch is about a junkie named Bill Lee, but it's based on Burroughs' own drug hallucinations. The movie keeps the character of Bill Lee, but it draws on several of Burroughs' books, as well as on David Cronenberg's imagination. Although several of the creatures Isaac had to create weren't even in the novel, he and his crew read it to get a sense of the mood and atmosphere.
We tried to get the feeling that Burroughs was going for, and also something that whatever David was tapping into. But really, David, it truly is sort of a fusion of David Cronenberg and William Burroughs. So it wasn't totally necessary to look at the book. The script was what it was. And I think, people in the shop who were interested, definitely the book was being passed around.
There's a couple of lines I'm thinking of that might have helped create the right atmosphere. Lines like, the look of borrowed flesh common to all who survived the sickness, and paranoia of early withdrawal, everything looks blue, flesh dead, doughy, toneless. Is that the kind of atmosphere you're going for?
Yeah, definitely. And that's the kind of stuff that, those are the kind of descriptions that David would use as well in the script. Not necessarily word for word, but those are the sort of the flavor of the writing. His script, I think, was great. So it was, you got a lot of those feelings from just reading the script.
I think a lot of special effects creatures are used in horror movies and are supposed to be frightening in a horror movie kind of way. Mm-hmm. But you were creating creatures that were more the creatures of a hallucination than a horror movie.
Right.
So did that mean going about it in any fundamentally different way?
Yeah, it did, actually. The difference between this movie and a lot of the other films, and say like The Fly, which we worked with on David as well, is that this film, the creatures and all the effects that we did had to be integrated into the film. And we never wanted a point in the movie where you stopped the movie and you said, wow, there's a special effect. And everybody looks at it and it's this incredible transformation or it's this wild thing. And it was very, very important that would never happen. And that you were totally engrossed in the story and in what Bill Lee was going through. So we had to really work on the characters of the creatures and make them as much of characters as Bill Lee or any other cast members. And so we focused on the puppeteering. We focused on being consistent. And I had, many, many conversations with David about, who is the Clark Nova? I mean, what's the Clark Nova's motivations? What's the Mugwump thinking here? Conversations that you normally in effects movie don't have with a director, because you'd be blowing up a head somewhere, or you'd be doing something that is just an effect, and it's just a moment in the film. The creatures really had to be a part of the film.
You mentioned the Clark Nova. That's this bug typewriter.
Right.
David Cronenberg has really turned the story of Naked Lunch into this hallucination about writing.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite creation in the movie is this bug writer. It's a living, speaking being that's a cross between an old manual typewriter and a winged insect.
Right.
Would you describe it a little bit more?
Well, that's really close. It is definitely a fusion between a typewriter and a beetle is what we were going for. And it's the voice, and it's his writing machine that tells him what to do and gives him inspiration and is really sort of the life of his machine. David is an expert on bugs, and so this particular we had to really do some research on make sure that this thing was to real life as much as possible looking like a bug, but in the same hand it had to look. It had to look like a typewriter, and it had to have that feeling that it was this sort of cross between this fusion of mechanical, this mechanical being, and this fleshy bug. And so we were trying to go for something that gave us the bug qualities that kind of make you squirm just a little bit, but nothing that's that's so over the top and outrageous that every time you look at it, you're squirming too much. You had to sort of, the first time you see it, you might sort of wiggle a little bit, and then hopefully, as the character came through, you would get involved with him as just a character.
This bug typewriter talks out of a mouth that is shaped like an anus. How does this anus relate to William Burroughs' vision in the novel Naked Lunch?
Well, there's a piece in the novel that William Burroughs has written, and it's actually in the film. Bill Lead has this long monologue, it's probably a page and a half, where he describes this person that wakes up one day and he's talking. His behind basically is able to talk now, and he goes through this sort of change where eventually that takes over, and it basically says that he doesn't need that character anymore. He doesn't need the person anymore, and the man's face eventually just sort of gets covered over, and it's just flesh, and he talks out of his behind, and that's a very vivid description that William Burroughs uses and David uses it in the film. And so it seemed to make sense that the typewriter would talk out of its behind.
So you had to create a mouth that looked a lot more like a rectum.
Yes.
And you had to do it in such a way so that people would kind of get what you were getting at. Can you talk to me a little bit about creating that?
Yeah. We sculpt it first, and it's sculpted in clay. And you go through a period of once you've done the drawings, you sculpt it, and we would show David pictures of this thing, and we were trying to do something that that looked like a rectum, and it wasn't so disgusting that you couldn't look at it, and it was still the shape of the back of a beetle. That's why we chose to do that part where it was, so that we could hide it behind the wings, and so that we could have the flexibility to keep the wings moving, and we could cover the thing up if we had to, and it could sort of talk behind them. And we had, you know, if it got to be a little bit too much, we could always hide it a little bit.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Jim Isaac, and he was special effects supervisor for Naked Lunch. He also worked on Return of the Jedi, Gremlins, and The Fly. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Jim Isaac, special effects supervisor for the movie Naked Lunch. Now, I have to ask you about creating the mugwumps, who are these creatures in the movie. And let me read the paragraph in Naked Lunch in which William Burroughs describes the mugwumps. He says, "Mugwumps have no liver and nourish themselves exclusively on sweets. Thin, purple-blue lips cover a razor-sharp beak of black bone with which they frequently tear each other to shreds in fights over clients. These creatures secrete an addicting fluid from their erect penises, which prolongs life by slowing metabolism." What function do these mugwumps serve in the story?
Well, the mugwump is there to sort of basically help Billy along with his adventures, much like the Beatles do.
Mm-hmm.
Gives him information and tells him, basically, he's the mugwump's the one who tells him to get to Interzone.
The mugwump, the way Burroughs describe them, sound like a cross between monsters and junkies. You know, junkies,
right,
in the sense that they have no livers and they nourish,
right,
themselves on sweets. So what did Cronenberg have to say to you about the creation he wanted for the mugwumps?
We went through a couple of different things. He definitely wanted it to be to look like a sort of pasty skin junkie. As far as the actual sort of the physical parts of his face, David talked about at one point. We went over looking at. He liked the idea of it sort of being a wolf jaw. He talked about that. He talked about it possibly having some features like William Burroughs, looking a little bit like him. Part of the character things he talked about were that we didn't want it to be sort of a lot of movement, too crazy. We wanted him to be very slow, powerful, to have a certain presence without having to do much, to be able to just, if he just looked at you, you got a sense of power, and that you could be afraid of this thing. It's like you would be a junkie. You weren't quite sure, is this a real sad creature, or is this a scary creature? And he really, as it evolved, we brought him more into being a sympathetic sort of sad creature than anything else.
What was the greatest challenge for you in creating the Mugwumms?
I think the biggest challenge is because it was because of its size. It was six and a half, 7 feet tall. It had to be mechanical. We made a decision early on that it was not going to be a man in a suit. And just the fact that the action that it had to do, I mean, it had to sit at a bar, smoke a cigarette, drink, and talk to Bill Lee. And the biggest challenge, and this probably goes for most of the creatures, is that, again, it had to be a real character in the film. It could not be an effect. You couldn't look at it and go, wow, that's a great puppet, or that's a great monster or creature. You really had to be able to not stop the movement of the film. And that was the big thing. And it had 2 pages of dialogue. We had to be able to sync up the dialogue. I mean, there's just technical problems, and we had to make sure that we could lip sync it. I wanted to make sure that David had the options on the set to direct the puppet and to be able to change lines if we needed to right on the spot. And that's one of the things with special effects. Sometimes the director doesn't have that option. If you do computer stuff or you do any of these things you have to program in earlier, the director doesn't get a chance to really be creative at all on the set.
In this hallucinatory movie, there's this disgusting centipede meat that not only do people eat, but it's sold in the marketplaces, and it's just about the most unappetizing looking stuff. Did you have to create that?
Mm-hmm.
Let me read a paragraph from Naked Lunch just to give a sense of how unappetizing this stuff is. Several meat eaters lay in vomit too weak to move. The black meat is like a tainted cheese, overpoweringly delicious and nauseating, so that the eaters eat and vomit and eat again until they fall exhausted.
Right.
Tell me how you created this really unappetizing centipede meat.
Well, that was with those. We made about 40 of those that were just your basic latex and foam, and so it was really that was pretty straightforward. David wanted just your basic large centipede, so we would make we sculpted large centipedes and had about 50 of them. But then for the actual scene where they're being cut up and sliced up like meat, we actually made them out of a hot pour vinyl and filled them with ultra slime. And different colored ultra slimes.
Is ultra slime a product?
Yeah, it's a company called Friendly Plastic makes this stuff, and it's sort of a standard in our business. It's actually called ultra slime, and it's this very thick, gummy thing. It's something you use if you want a creature to be drooling or dripping, and it's very thick and sticky, and you can color it and make it look anything you want. So we would have different colored ultra slimes in there. The blood of the centipede was more of a yellowy, it was black meat, but I guess the blood and the guts and things were, so David decided he wanted it to be sort of yellow mustard colored. So we would tint the ultra slime and then inject it into the hot pour vinyl. And so when you sliced it, you got this sort of horrible slimy mess. And then we made 4 or 5 different rigs that would do that. So you could slice them, you could rip off their shells, you're supposed to. There's a whole process that we actually had to come up with. David asked for myself and Carol Spear, who's a production designer, and a few other people to sit down and say, okay, how does this work? What exactly do they do? What's the process of making this? Let's make sure that in that one scene, you wanted to make it look logical that, you know, you take the centipede, you cut the shell off, you slice it, do you grind it, do you dry it, you know, what's the process? And so we came up with a process and just sort of created it that way.
Why, I'm getting hungry just listening to you.
Yeah.
Was William Burroughs on the set much, or was he in the lab when you were creating the creatures?
No, he was on the set for about 1 week, sort of toward the middle of shooting.
What did Burroughs have to say about the Mugwumms?
It was funny. He looked at it and he just kind of look around and say, oh, that's great. That's really neat. And he was very enthusiastic and much like a little kid, totally different than, all of us anticipated. I mean, he came in and he was all dressed in black and he looked like all the pictures that I've seen of him. And we thought, oh, he's going to be kind of aloof and sort of strange. And we didn't really know what to expect. Instead, he was like a kid. He looked at the stuff and he sort of poked it with his finger and touched the rubber in the faces and would sort of giggle, and he really loved it. It was fun. And he walked around and touched all the Beatles, and he would type on them all, and he was great.
So what do you do with all the creatures now that the movie is completed?
We just have them in our shop, and we sort of play with them and pet them and things. No, we do have them in our shop, and we store them. We unfortunately store everything from every show, so we have a shop full of from all the creatures, and we try to either display them. We have to keep them for a certain amount of time intact in case there are reshoots, or in case everybody loves it and we're going to do another movie, or for whatever reason. And then we can pretty much, sometimes we have to take them apart, which is a real shame. We take the mechanics out and use them over. Most of the time, a lot of the effects on this film, because of what happened to them, some of them were destroyed. I mean, the Martinelli that gets eaten by the Clark Novas pretty much was sort of trashed by the end of the show. But the Mugwumps are hanging in our shop. We have 50 Mugwumps hanging around.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
Jim Isaac was special effects supervisor for the film Naked Lunch. The novel Naked Lunch has just been brought out in a new edition by Grove Weidenfeld. Grove has also just published a book about the making of the movie called Everything is Permitted. This is Fresh Air.